you very much for turning those fans. Matter of fact, I had a jacket on, right? Whew. I'm burning up. Yes, I'm wearing purple, Andrew.
And I'm fine with it. I just wear whatever she sets out for me.
And I ain't just a river in Egypt, brother.
I'm secure.
Just in case you get the chance. Who's whistling to me? Somebody whistling to me? Am I forgetting something? Okay, good. Quit whistling. What's the matter with you? What's holding you back is the title of the message. And please put that, John. What's holding you back? Don't change the title because you think you got something catchier. Happens all the time. Look, I didn't preach that.
Oh, I changed the message. I thought it was better this way.
What's holding you back? You just try to run the sound system. We'll get the rest of this done. If you have the chance, put your seatbelt on. Not for the message. For real, while you're driving your car. Because it costs $50. I almost clicked him, I'll tell you that right now. There's very few times, I'm just going to admit something to you that I probably shouldn't, but I am not a slow driver, okay? I like to go fast. If there was an Autobahn in America, I would take that. I don't care if it took me a million miles out of my way. I would be on the Autobahn every opportunity that I got. I love to drive fast. If you drive slow, I don't like to be behind you at all, okay? And that's preacher's saying that, you ought to obey every law. Yeah, you should too, but I'm a speeder, okay? Remember that. Now understand, I'm going down the turnpike for one of the very few times in my entire life where I'm not speeding that much. You can ask John. Usually it's, I'm down the road. I wasn't going that fast. Matter of fact, the cop told me I wasn't going that fast. And I put my seatbelt on after I saw him. And what's funny is I'm so happy that none of you have ever done this when you see a police officer sitting in the middle of the road in a blind spot where you can't see him. That's entrapment. And I went past him and I saw him put the dumb radar gun down and I saw him look like he was putting a car in gear. And John and I are both... I hate seat belts. So they don't save my life. They cost me $50. So I'm driving. Shh, none from you. So I'm trying to plead my case here, Miss Annie. If this is going on the internet, police officer pulled me over. I hope you hear this. Don't pull me over again. So driving, he pulls me over. He says, "Sir, you were going a little fast coming down the hill, but not too bad. But you weren't wearing your seatbelt." And I almost said, "But I'm wearing it now." Half price ticket, please. Man. And what's funny is, ladies, my wife never gets a ticket. Ever.
Hallelujah.
She can get pulled over and yell at the cop, "I can't hear you over your microphone." And he's just talking into a CB. And he'll come back and say, "No, don't do it again." Come on. I get pulled over and the cop comes up to my door. "You're going down." Dad says, "Put a clergy sticker on the back of your car." Yeah. Yeah. So I can get pulled over by somebody that's not a churchgoer. Now you're going to jail. Just got a ticket for the seatbelt. So I titled this message, "What's Holding You Back?" It's not having anything to do with the seatbelt, but I thought that was funny. I've had this message for about 2 weeks. Apparently, I should have never wrote this title down because I would have never got a ticket. Psalm 22, verse 14. Please turn there. I'm going to have some fun today. I love to preach. I love getting the chance to preach. I hate it when Dad's sick, but I love to preach. Psalm 22. Let's all stand together as we read verse 14. One verse. The Bible says in Psalm 22:14, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to preach. Lord, I just cannot believe every single day I go through life not believing that you called me to preach, but I'm so thankful that I have the opportunity. Lord, please, always my prayer, let me decrease and let you increase to everything. Lord, you've got to speak now. This is your time. Come down, fill me with your power. Lord, I have nothing apart from you. So, Lord, let these people hear something that they need today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've talked to you before. I love to envision the Bible. I don't know if you ever do this or not, but I don't go through the Bible just reading it and you get the words and get the words and get the words. You get through the chapter, man, where was I just at? I like to envision what has just happened or what is happening when you read the scriptures. And it's no different. I think of the crucifixion of Christ, and this was talking about Christ years and years and years before he ever was crucified. This is what it's talking about here in Psalms. And I think of what might have happened at that time. Now, understand there's no internet at this time. There's no phone calls. There's no things like that. But these people, I just got to believe at this crucifixion, this one, this was a famous man that was getting put up on that cross that day. I got to believe it was just packed out. I'm telling you, I believed it was shoulder to shoulder with vile people who cannot wait to see violence. I got to believe it was shoulder to shoulder with, on the other side, people that loved Christ and didn't want this to happen and couldn't believe it was happening. Man, if you are who you say you are, how can you be up on that tree? And he told them over and over and over again, this is going to happen. I think of the sight. You know, the Bible says that he was unrecognizable. The Bible said he was more marred than any other man, even the sons of men. He's never going to be anybody like him, the way he was beaten, the way he was. I think of that sight. I think of the smell that day. The smell of the blood. It has a smell, you know. The smell of the bodies that had, everybody that was there today was packed in there. I just got to believe it was a smell that they never forgot. I think of the sounds, the crying. When people see something like that happen, it invokes emotion. I think of the cursing. Most of the people there cursed our Savior. Most of the people that were there that day couldn't wait for him to be killed. Most of the people that were there hated him. And I'm going to be honest with you, I wonder if they even knew why. Did you ever think about that? I wonder if the people that were in attendance that day even knew why they didn't like Christ. You could say, well, it's because he proclaimed himself as king. He never hurt anybody. Matter of fact, he helped everybody. My question was this, Brother Mark. Where were the 20,000 some odd people he fed that day? Pull yourself down. Hogwash, you just fed this whole group of people. Where are they to pull him down? These great miracles, he walked on the water. Where are the people that saw that? Where are the people that saw him do all these great and wonderful miracles? Where are they? My thought is, what in the world? Christ, he had to go. But understand this, if there was any semblance of, hey, if your favorite person was getting crucified, if your favorite person was going down, I wonder if you'd be there to help. Think of the crying and the cursing. Think of the mocking. Come down if you can. You're not the Lord of Lords. You're not, you're going to die like men. And he did. There's another sound, though. It came as part of the crucifixion, but it was before he was up in the air. And Andrew, could you help me? I'm going to have an illustration today. What's holding you back? Come here. I'm not going to put you on anything, by the way. Just come here. Grab that end. All the way up. I'm so thankful he's at this church. He's a big mule, this boy is. Thank you. Put it down. Set it down. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's not even close to the size it was, by the way. That was heavy. Can you imagine him having to carry that? After he was scourged? There's a sound I want you to hear. I am not a carpenter. Matter of fact, I almost thought about asking Fred to come up here and pound these nails. But I don't have a Sawzall to take the nails back out after he messed up. But I could have had one up here, couldn't I, Fred? What did the nails sound like? What did the nails sound like? Now understand, I don't care where they were put, if they were put in the hand or they were put in the wrist. A lot of guys have problems with that. I just got to believe it hurts. I mean, I've had a nail gun shoot me in the hand, and I danced the Balky Dance of Joy for 20 minutes over just a little nail going in my finger. I watched Fred, who is the toughest man alive, shoot a nail, holding a board underneath with one of those nail guns, shoot a nail through his finger, and he went like this, and the nail is across his finger like this. He tries to pull it out. He didn't wince in pain, mind you. He tried to pull it out. It was a ring shank. It's not coming out. He finished nailing the board. Boom, boom, boom. With the nail in his finger. I found respect for him that I never had before quick. You're rushing me to the hospital right after that happens. I'll tell you that right now. I'm going to call 911. Send a chopper. He goes out to the truck, says, "You got any tape?" "Yeah, I got some tape." "Why?" "I'm following him now. I want to see tape." He takes out his carpenter knife, slices the top of his finger open and pulls the nail out and throws it off to the side and says, "Give me the tape." Yeah. He's a bus driver for us. Amen. To that. And you ride on his bus and you're going to give him problems? Dude. Bad idea. What held Christ there? Well, see, we talk about getting nails, but what held him there? I mean, the nails held him to the cross. The nails that had to be driven through his wrists or hands. The nails that had to be put into him. The pain that he went through. What held him there? So I'm going to give you four things that held Christ to the cross that day. Four things, and I want you to hear, and I want you, when you hear this, I want you to envision the Savior that loves you, the Savior that cares about you. I want you to envision him being crucified for you. The first one, he had to be on that cross and he had to stay there. What held him there was a simple word called veracity. What is veracity? Veracity means truth. Now, I'm going to have you look at something with me. Turn to, I won't have to turn to all these, but Luke chapter 22, he said he would be slain. In 1 Corinthians, the gospel is found. Look at 15, 3 and 4 of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he was buried, and that day, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Belief in that is what gets you to heaven. That's what's wonderful. Just believing that that happened with all your heart is what gets you to heaven. Glory to God. You repent of the sins that you have, and you're never going to get rid of them. You repent of that. And then you believe this, and you go to heaven. It's wonderful. But Christ said that he was going to die. He said he would be slain. There's other scriptures that said that he was going to go through these types of things, the scourging and the beating. In Titus 1, 2, it says, God cannot lie. Now, listen, you say, well, that's no big thing for God. Let me explain something to you. I'm going to pound some nails in here in a minute. Could you have taken it? I don't care if, hey, there's promises that every one of us in this room has one time or another broken because it was too hard. Or we made the promise to our kids, realizing we're probably not going to keep it just to get the kid to be quiet for 10 minutes. Christ made a promise. He was going to die for us. And because of that promise and the fact that he cannot lie, that held him to the cross. To connotate the word veracity, I've got a V. And I'm going to put the V here, and I'm going to see if I can't make a big mess of pounding this in. I'm not a carpenter. Now, this is more like probably what held him to the cross. Could you imagine your hand being in there? Could you imagine laying on your back and not uttering a word? Can you imagine being mocked? And you're saying that I've got to stay here because I told a truth. The veracity of Jesus Christ held him to the cross that day because God cannot lie, and he had to die. The second one is the Lord went on offense. A lot of people look at the cross as defense, a defender for us. I'm telling you right now, the Lord handed him, the God Almighty handed him the ball, and he scored a touchdown when he went to the cross. Even though it looked as though the Lord was giving up, he was just going on offense. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. I want you to look at one important thing. In verse 18 it says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, gates are not going to make an offensive maneuver. When's the last time you see gates attack? Gates don't attack. What's happening here is the Lord decided, you know what? I'm going to go on offense. I realize that these people can't save themselves. I'm going to go on offense. I'm going to go ahead and take this ball. I'm going to run right to the gates of hell, and they're not going to prevail against what I'm doing today. What held him to the cross? The simple fact that without him, the gates of hell would have prevailed. Without this crucifixion, the gates of hell would have won. We wouldn't have been able to break through. We wouldn't have been able to get the keys to death and hell. We wouldn't have been able to get all those things. The Lord went down and got them for us. He prevailed. What held him on the cross that day? His veracity held him there because he had to tell the truth. But you know what? The Lord decided he's going to get a little bit physical with the devil and his gang. And he went on offense and said, I'm going to save my people. And I'm going to do that by going on offense. And they grabbed another nail. It's amazing to me to think, as if the first one wasn't bad enough. Can you imagine having to go through this for people that don't even care? Can you imagine having to go through this for people that do not love you, that are railing you and mocking you? Can you imagine going through that? nail after nail to beat the devil, who most of us team up with weekly. He went on offense. I'm so thankful he did. What else held him to the cross? Matthew 18:11. If you have an NIV Bible in here today, you're going to have to look on somebody else's for this verse, because it's not in there. Matthew 18:11. The Bible says, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." Now, if any of these mean anything to you, this should be the one that means something to you. He saw the need of this old sin-sick world. He saw the need of people to have a Savior. He saw the need of the people that gathered around the cross that day. He saw the need of somebody. Something has to happen. I've got to go. I've got to go. Because there's going to be a day when Brian Stevens walks the earth. There's going to be a day when Andrew Grace walks the earth. There's going to be a day when Andrew walks the earth. There's going to be a day. There's going to be a day when Jack Dollar says, "I need a Savior. I'm lost. I need you, Lord." And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're in here and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you are lost. And because of you, you were holding him to the cross. Your lost state is what held him there. Your lost state is what made him stay. Your lost state is what made him go to the cross in love and care for you. Because we were lost. And without him, we'd never be found. So as Christ picked up that very heavy, that was heavy for just a little one, wasn't it? And Andrew's a big boy. The Lord was beaten half to death. Maybe three quarter to death. And he carried the cross. They depict him falling down. The Bible never says that. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think my Lord ever fell down. My Lord's tough. I don't believe he fell down. I believe the Lord carried it. And I believe they grabbed Simon and said, "Now you carry it." And he went to that cross and laid down. Understand this. They laid him down here. They laid him down, and Christ knows what a crucifixion is. They laid him down, and he looked around the people. Remember what he said? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They were crucifying their Savior. And because of them, because of the ones that railed on him, not because of the ones that loved him, do you hear my voice? Not because of the ones that loved him, because of the ones that hated him, held him to the cross that day. What a wonderful Savior to die for people that don't like him. What a wonderful Savior to die for people that hated him. What a wonderful Savior to die for people who reached down, put him on the cross, and said, "You know what? I don't know who you are, but this is going to be done. I don't know who you are, but I'm one that you're dying for." The guy that grabbed the hammer and started pounding them in. Can you hear it? Can you hear the nails? That man right there, the one that pounded it through, the one that drove his hand and stapled it right to the cross. That man he died for. That man said, "You know what? I don't know who you are and I don't care." You may be in this church today, you say, "I don't know who the Lord is, but I don't care." Understand, it doesn't make any difference. He still died for you. You say, "I don't like the Lord. I don't like him. I don't like him at all. I don't like what he stands for." Don't worry. He's not coming off the cross, because he loves you. He loves you whether you like him or not. I drove this one all the way in because I want you to see something. He finished it right there. For every lost person, he finished it right there. He finished your salvation, whether you take it or not, he finished it for you. Whether you grab it or not, he finished it for you. What's great about our Lord, Brother Coolidge, if we never live a day for him, he did everything enough for us to go to heaven. Whether you like him, whether you love him, whether you hate him, he died for you. The lost people that are in this room, he died for you. He loves you today. Amen. Whether you love him or not, he's still there with his nail-wounded hands saying, please come. I died for you. All you have to do is realize you are a sinner. And I would just about bet if I interviewed you, I could find something along the line where you did something wrong. And you're a sinner. You're lost. And Christ calls out to you today, please come. Don't wait another day. Don't wait another day to accept me as your Savior. All he had to do was die. All you got to do is live. What a trade-off. The lost. Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. The lost, they held him there. And the last one. The last one's for us. The ones that are saved. You know what held him to the cross? A promise of eternity. I don't deserve to go to heaven. Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. I compare my life to Paul. Man, he lied. I'm more chief than him. I don't know anybody that sins like I do. And I'm so thankful that the Lord died for me. I'm so thankful that he went the whole mile to Calvary. I'm so thankful that every step he took, he just kept taking another one. I'm so thankful that he laid willingly on the cross. I could see people forcing other people down, holding their arms, holding their legs. My Savior, he went willingly. They didn't have to force him. I believe he laid his hand out. And the very hand that saves you and I is the very hand that's going to be waiting when we go to heaven. And what's tremendous is, if he wouldn't have gone, we don't have eternity. We don't have that promise. We've got to hope so. But because he went and because he stayed, we have a no-so. There's going to be a day, glory to God, that you die, unless the rapture happens. But if that day comes, turn to John chapter 10 with me. In verse 27, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. Do you hear his voice? I'm not talking audibly like he's speaking to you through a microphone. But do you hear him? Do you care to hear him? Do you desire for the Lord that gave you eternity? Do you desire for him to talk to you? My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. I give it unto them. Doesn't say you had to earn it. Doesn't say you have to be a good person. I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And as he laid down on this cross, as he laid down, he put eternity right here. I give them eternity. And you know what? They are in my hand. just like this nail's going to go. I am so thankful that I don't have to do anything to merit heaven. I am so thankful that the Lord paid it all.
Amen.
His payment was in full. He purchased eternity by letting this nail be driven into his hand. By realizing, I've got to go. I've got to go. They're saved out there and they don't have an eternity with me unless I let this nail be taken down. They don't have eternity with me unless I let this be put inside of me. They don't have eternity with me unless I let this nail hold me here to this cross at Calvary. Wow, that was a good one. And I'm going to tell you right now, he let that nail be put in his hand so he could have an eternity with you and with me. You don't deserve any of it.
Amen.
I don't deserve any of it. But glory to God, it doesn't change the fact that he went to the cross and died for you. That doesn't change the fact that once you got saved, he stayed on that cross because him staying on the cross was the perfect sacrifice. And when he stayed there, eternity was holding him there. His truth, veracity, was holding him there. He knew he had to beat the devil. He went on offense and beat him there. The lost held him there. If you're not saved today, you need to get saved. You need to accept the Lord as your Savior today. Don't wait another minute. You're foolish. You're foolish for messing with your eternity, because eternity is real. And whether you live or die with Christ is what's going to determine where you go.
Amen.
If you accept him as Savior today, you go to heaven.
Amen.
If you don't accept him, you're going to go to hell. And he was stapled to that cross so you wouldn't have to go there. He was put on that cross so you could accept him and then have eternity. He's nailed to the cross. The crowds gathered. And as you know, the Bible speaks when they lifted the cross, every bone went out of joint. You ever had a bone go out of joint? Let's stack up every of them. And the men lifted the cross, picked it up, and set it in the ground. And the crowd looked out. They looked out at Christ. And they saw what held him there. He loves you today. He didn't speak a word. He was crucified and he didn't do anything wrong. He walked that road after being scourged and his beard plucked out and being spit on and being mocked and buffeted by the lost. The saved didn't even lift a finger. Now I know it had to be done. But boy, I wish today that we would stand up more for our Lord.
Amen.
And as the people looked on him, hanging there, still not uttering a word, except, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Words like, John, behold thy mother. Words like, it is finished. Every statement he made, Brother Mark, was for others. Every statement he made was to help somebody else. Behold, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Every statement he made was for you and for me. Every statement he made was for somebody that hated him and didn't love him, but he hung on the cross that day because he loves you. And it didn't matter how you were treated. It didn't matter how you treated him. He laid down freely, willingly, outstretched. I died for the lost. I won an offense for those who love me and the saved and the lost alike. I won an offense and went down and beat down the gates of hell. I went there because I told you I was going to go there, and I keep my promises. And he went there to provide an eternity for us. And I cannot wait to go there. But the question comes to my mind next. What's holding us back? What's holding us back? What is holding us back today from getting saved? What is holding us back today from serving the Lord who loved you so much? What is holding us back from the love of the Savior? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I can't even imagine what you've done for us. Every time I think of it, it just makes no sense to me. But Lord, I'm so thankful that you did. Lord, every time I fail you, you still reach down with a loving hand and pick me back up. Every time I say a bad word and Lord, do things that I ought not do or don't do something I'm supposed to be doing. Every time, Lord, I fail you, you're always there to love me. And Lord, I believe every person in this room has gone through the same things I'm talking about today. The failures, the heartaches, the times when they know they should have done something or know they should have been somewhere and they weren't. And Lord, our sin and your truth is exactly what held you to the cross that day. Lord, I pray with all my heart. I pray, Lord, help me to not be held back and go for your service. Help me to work harder for you, to do more for you. Help me, Lord, to look every alley that I can to serve you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say with an uplifted hand, Brother Dave, I know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. I know it. I know it. I know it. Put your hands up real tall. You may put them down. You know, I didn't see anybody, but that doesn't mean that I didn't miss you. And the Lord may be dealing with you right now. And I'm going to tell you, on a day like this, you don't want to miss it. That knocking in your chest right now, that heart knocking, that's the Lord telling you, you need to be saved today. Not for me. I don't care if you get saved for me. You need to get saved because the Lord was stapled to that cross because he loves you. Don't miss out on that love. It's a love that never ends and lasts for all eternity. So nobody's looking around. Nobody's got their eyes open. This is a serious time. How many could lift their hands and say, you know what, Brother Dave? I don't know. I don't know that if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I sure would like to know. Put your hand up. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to run down the aisle and get you. That means I'm talking to Christians today. And you know what? I dare say there's some of us out there that maybe aren't doing everything we could for the Lord that was held back for us. And I wonder if we're being held back by things that aren't godly. I wonder if we're being held back for things that maybe we want or maybe we think are more important. And what's great about that is the Lord still loves you, even if you are living that way. And He wants you to come. Let's get it settled today. Let's make decisions today. Can we make decisions today, Bethel? Can we make decisions today that we are going to serve God? Because the Lord is waiting there with open arms. He's waiting there with hands that were nailed to that tree for you. He's waiting there saying, please, please come. I don't care that you haven't served me lately. I don't care what have you done. He's not a what have you done for me lately. He's a what can you do for me right now. That's all He wants. Dear Lord, I beg these people. I beg these people to see that day. To hear the nail being driven in. To hear the cries and the mournings and the scourges. I want them to hear that. And I want them to bring it to the altar with them. And lay down what's holding them back at the altar and leave it there. Lord, please be with us today. I've done the best I could. Help us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. Please don't wait. The invitation starts, you just come.